Well, it's good to be back. We had a great time at Mahaffey Camp and a week of vacation. And Pastor Joe's up there preaching the way up at Edinburgh Camp. I hear good things, and I'm very thankful. How many of you have been to Edinburgh Camp? Yeah, it's just a beautiful little place, and God pours out His Spirit there, and we're thankful, very thankful. Well, here we go. It was several months ago, God placed upon me this message. And it's interesting that Pastor Joe's right in the middle of the series on the book of Exodus. And the next chapter is chapter 17, the very message that God placed on my heart way back in the springtime to bring to you today. And so I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. You know, I'm thankful that God gave me hands. You know, sometimes we get so used to seeing these things, we forget to say, "Thank you, Lord." I use my hands every day. I eat with them. I drive with them. I hold Connie's hand with them. I type with them. I play piano with them. I pray with them. I clap my hands, wave my hands, throw kisses with my hands. I use my hands to make coffee for my wife. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Next slide. Here we go. My grandkids, they use their hands too for fun things. Have you used your hands today? How many did? Come on. Wake up, everybody. You did. You had to pull the covers off of the bed. Hopefully you made the bed. You had to get dressed. Think about trying to do that. So I want you to turn to somebody right near you or right behind you and tell them three ways. Now you're going to have to think. Three ways you used your hands today. Okay? I want to hear about it. All right. How you perceive of your hands and the hands of people around you really makes a difference about who you really are. I want to read the scripture, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And God's done that. Who ever heard of Amalek except here in the Bible? There is no more nation of Amalekites. But Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. I want us to see together what three actions you can do to be most effective in your hands-on faith. Let's see the first action. Lift your hands in prayer. Lifting hands in praise and worship. And you look around during the worship time, you'll see people with their hands raised in praise to God. That's not something new. For thousands of years, godly people have raised their hands in prayer, in praise to God, in worship. Now let's review the story. The nomadic tribe of Amalek came and attacked the Israelites at the place called Rephidim. What is the background? The Jews, under the leadership of Moses, had escaped after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Think about it. The United States of America is just a little over 200 years old. 400 years they were slaves. And God arranged for them to walk free from the Egyptian slavery. By a miraculous intervention, the Jewish people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And as they hiked through the desert, they came to the place called Rephidim. But there was no water at Rephidim. No water to drink, no water to swim in, no water to wash their clothes, no water. And God said to Moses in verse 6 of chapter 17, God told Moses to strike the rock, and out gushed water, enough water for 600,000 people. That's how many people were with Moses in the Exodus. How many people is that? I looked on the computer. The city of Pittsburgh has about 300,000 people. That's twice as many people as live in the city of Pittsburgh. Can you imagine? And the water gushed out of the rock. And people had water to drink and to bathe in and to have fun with. The name of the place, Rephidim, means a place of rest. After so much traveling through the desert, camping along the way, they finally came to a place of rest. How many of you have been camping? Yep. And you know, after you load everything in the car, and they didn't have cars back then, and they finally arrived to the campsite, and the kids are, you know, tearing at each other and all that kind of stuff. And you get the tent put up and the sleeping bags rolled out and finally get the kids tucked in bed. And you sit down to rest. You know what it feels like? Sure. If you've been camping, you know what it's like. But for Moses and the Jewish people, they had just gotten camp set up, and they were about ready to sit down and rest when the neighbors came to visit. But the neighboring family, named Amalek, that was their name, they were angry. We don't want you to camp in our backyard. And those Bedouin neighbors started to fight with the Jews. This is when Moses went into action. Immediately he talked to a young man named Joshua, asking him to gather together some reliable Israeli men and show them some muscle. It was another anxious time for the Jewish people. And Moses went to prayer. And as he prayed, he lifted his hands before God in the presence of the Jewish people up on the mountain. And he was lifting his hands in praise to God, visible to the Amalekites. He was not shy about his prayer time. And as he prayed, you read with me the story. As long as Moses' hands were lifted, the Jewish people, the army was winning the war. But when Moses' arms got tired of being raised, they were losing the battle. And you know the story. In the New Testament, 1,500 years later, God the Holy Spirit moved on the heart of the Apostle Paul to write, "I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, hands made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ." You too can lift your hands in prayer. In the Bible, God repeatedly asks people to lift their hands in prayer, in praise to God. Something else that I had never seen until a few months ago. As I was reading this passage, and I'm forever reading the Bible through in the mornings, okay? And verse 16, he said, that's Moses, he said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord." Now, if you haven't found it, there's a note sheet in your bulletin, and you're going to fill in the blanks. Worshippers, as you lift your hands in prayer to God, whether it's in your home, in your privacy of your personal devotions, or whether it's in the church meeting, picture your hands upon the throne of God. Picture it in your mind's eye, God sitting on the throne and you touching the throne in prayer. Believing God. Not only is the action to lift your hands in prayer, but two, lend a hand to people. God placed people around Moses for special reasons. And he places people around you so that they can help you. But more important, so that you can help them with a helping hand. Thank God for the people that God's put into my life. Many of you, you were there when I needed you. You were faithful time after time for years. This month, Connie and I celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. For over 50 years, Connie's been lending me a hand. And she works behind the scene. Many times, people don't get to see what Connie does. But God sees as she serves him and serves me. Well, the people God placed around Moses were significant. First of all, Joshua. When the fight with the Amalekites was severe, and the Amalekites were picking a fight with the Jews, Joshua called on his faithful friend, Moses called on his faithful friend Joshua, and asked Joshua to help. In verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men. Go out to fight the Amalekites." And Joshua, he wasn't able to do it alone. He needed help. And Moses says, "Choose some of our men." Friends, choosing the right people in your life is vitally important. Choosing the right church where you will worship, where you will serve God, vitally important in our lives as we do battle for Jesus. Young people, choosing the right mate in life is so vitally important. It was 50 years ago. I stood before the altar of the Lord with this beautiful little lady, and I said, I will. Till death us do part. And what a journey it's been, serving the Lord together. Two other helpers which God placed in Moses' life. Look at verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Aaron is Moses' biological brother, a couple years older than Moses. Hur, we don't know a whole lot about this person, but Jewish tradition tells us that he was Moses' brother-in-law, Miriam's husband. Whatever, these two guys, there they were. And as Moses' hands got tired in worship, in prayer, these guys positioned themselves, one on either side, holding Moses' hands up in praise to God. And in prayer, the Jews were victorious. You see, it depended on people working together, praying together, family members. It's amazing what God does when husbands and wives will pray together, when moms and dads and kids pray together. As a young person, I told you, every morning before we left for school, we got down on our knees in the kitchen, and Mom prayed with us. Every night before we went to bed, we prayed together. And God wonderfully, powerfully took care of us. You know, I have a couple grandkids, seven grandsons, one granddaughter. And we were at the ocean last week, Myrtle Beach. Anyway, and Ethan, it's the first time he had ever seen the ocean waves. And he was excited, you know. But he hung on to my hand for dear life. Now, Levi, he's 6 years old. Ethan's three. Levi, you know these kids, they run around here all the time. He's the big brother. He didn't need to hold Pappy's hand, you know. But Ethan was hanging on for dear life. Whatever your workplace, learn to enjoy lending a hand to others. The people that God places in your life, He places there for a reason. And that's why we have Friends Day next Sunday. Pastor Joe will be back. He'll be preaching, as you know, and he'll give the invitation to receive Christ as Savior. But I want to encourage you to ask somebody near you, somebody that God placed in your life, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody you work with, somebody you go to the gym with, somebody in your life, invite them to come with you. Particularly somebody who has never yet trusted Christ the Savior. And to help you entice them to come, we're providing a steak dinner. Phil's going to grill the steaks, charcoal grill out back. And this past week, I bought the cheesecakes. Wow. We have enough servings of cheesecake alone for 112. And then there's going to be other desserts too, special, really special. So keep that in mind and get out there and invite your friends. Did you see the nice, the only word I can think of is terrazzo, and that's not the right word. Out in the entryway, how many had to walk around to get in? Come on, wake up. Yeah. I invited those guys to come, and I think they're going to come next week. I said, we're going to have a steak dinner for you. And I said, let me know which service you're going to attend, because I want to introduce you to the congregation. Boy, they did a fantastic job. They donated their time. It's about lending hands. It's about reaching out to people that God placed in your life. Moses himself was a helping person. He was helping the Jewish people escape from slavery in Egypt and get up into the promised land. And did those people complain? They complained about everything. In the early part of chapter 17, they were complaining about no water. So they quarreled with Moses, verse 2, and said, give us water to drink. And Moses says, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put God to the trust? But the people were thirsty and they were grumbled against Moses. It's just a wonder why Moses didn't pack his bags and walk off and leave them there in the wilderness. But he didn't. He hung in there. He stayed in there. And God worked a miracle. It's always best to pray because God was there to help. The third action that you can do, the first one was lift your hands in prayer. The second action, lend a hand to the people God puts around you. The third action that you can do, look to God's hand of power. Even as Dick Weaver sang, put your hand in the hand of the man who healed. Think about the powerful hand of God. God's hand that created this beautiful universe. God's hand that touched the blind man. And he could see. That same God reaches out to you and to me today. With healing. With victory in your situation, your family. That same God reaches out to you. When we come to church, let's come expecting God to do something special today in us, in the church meeting, and watch God's hand at work. Let's not look to the steak dinner to save people. It won't. Let's look to God's hand to save people. As we invite our neighbors next Sunday, in God's grace, he gifts people for service. He gives us gifts. Sometimes they may seem insignificant, but he gifts us for special service. Can we see the next slide, please? Yeah. Think about it. Joshua had been given a sword. I don't know where he got the sword. Remember, he had been a slave in Egypt. They didn't have swords. But Joshua took his sword, and verse 13 said, he won the victory. Moses had a staff. Notice what verse 9 calls it. The end of the verse. Tomorrow, Moses said, tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Previously, this hunk of wood, that's all it was, it had been called Moses' staff. But here, notice, it's a staff of the Lord. the same staff that God used to bring water out of the rock, the same staff that God used to part the Red Sea, the same staff that God changed into a snake when Moses threw it down before Pharaoh. God's placed things in your life. They might seem insignificant, but when you recognize that all things that we have belong to God, that little boy up in the Galilee area that had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, but when he gave it to Jesus, God multiplied it. It might have just been an insignificant lunch, but God multiplied it. And God can use what you have, what he has given you, the gifts he's given you to serve him. Aaron and Hur, they found a rock, verse 12. Now, those of you who have traveled in Israel, you know that there are rocks everywhere. But they took a rock and they sat it down and placed Moses. Something that seemed very insignificant, but God powerfully used it for his glory. And so look at the gifts he's given you today and use them for his glory. Next, in God's powerful grace, he guides us with his hands so that we might succeed. Think of how he guided the people of Israel through that desert, took care of them every step of the way, and how he's guided you and me even today, to bring us here together to worship him, the precious hymn that I sing to myself often. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be. For by his, there it is, his hand, he leadeth me. The psalm writer says, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. But not only does God gift us with special things, items, so we can serve him, he also guides us so that we can be successful. And he guards believers securely. The people of Israel were protected by the hand of God. Think about it. When these nomadic tribes were attacking the Jewish people, God protected his people with his powerful, gracious, almighty hand, the Bible calls it. Even today, God protects wonderfully. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John, chapter 10, verse 28. Find it yet? You're going to want to mark this in your Bible. Verse 27, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Get this now, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that precious, wonderful truth? That Jesus spoke to the people of Israel that when a believer, when a person comes to faith in Christ and rests in the saving grace of God, Jesus says, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Praise God. the assurance, the security we have in Christ. This morning, sense His love for you. Picture yourself resting securely in God's hand. The old African-American slaves would sing, "He's got you and me, brother, in His hand." They knew it. They lived by it day by day in face of danger to be secure in the hand of God. It takes faith to see God's hand powerfully at work in your situation. God gave Moses a pen to write with. Verse 14, God says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered.' Moses did. And make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And then Moses built an altar, took some stones and piled them up, a place of prayer. You've been to the altar. He named the altar, "The Lord is my banner." God's the one who receives the praise in all of this. He wanted everyone to look to God, whose hand had brought success, had brought the victory. This morning, look to God for the victory. In the situation you face, I don't know what it is. We all face those situations, those trials that draw us close to Him. Lift your hands in prayer to Him. Get into practice in your private prayer time to lift your hands to God in prayer. What has God placed in your hand? Maybe a few bucks that you can use for His glory. Maybe a boat that God's given you that you can invite somebody to go fishing with you and talk to them about Jesus. Maybe a talent that God's given you, a gift that you can sing or play or serve in one way or another. I don't know. God will tell you. Most important, as God extends His loving, powerful hand to you, you alone can decide to reach out and take His hand and walk with God by faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can rest securely in your hand. And Lord, help us today to lift our hands in praise to you. Empower us, enable us to lend a hand to the people that you placed around us, and thereby to demonstrate the love of Jesus. And most of all, God, help us to look to your hand to guide us, to gift us, to guard us with your hand. We bless and praise you in Jesus' name. Now, if you look up for the benediction, I think, will you read it with me? "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Okay. I want to see you singing all day long. He's got the whole world. in his hand. Thank you. You're dismissed.